Hello.
Mr. President?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I have Mr. Colson for you, sir. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
Well, I thought your group was really worth doing today.
Well, I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you could, Mr. President.
Right.
I know that's tiring after you've had all that.
Oh, no, not that's very easy for me, but it's.
You sure gave them quite a send off, boy.
But you know, that kind of group, you know, sort of the blue collar working guys that don't get in those high places very often. That's the kind of people we really. That's where you build our new majority.
You really do.
And they're fine people, and they cheered at the right times. They were really good.
Oh boy, your line about keep what you work. I won't get it right. But
work for what
line.
You get and get what you
get. What you work for, right?
And
that really gave them a lift. I mixed in with the crowd a little bit. I wanted to see the kinds of people that were in there.
Yeah.
It was a teamster from Indiana, and a lot of them come quite a distance. One young gal said, telling her boyfriend, I guess, she said, I'm just so excited, I think I'm going to faint.
Right.
You know, that
right.
really is a great thing.
Well, too, and I deliberately got in some of the foreign policy and the amnesty stuff and so forth.
No.
Because they need to hear that. I mean, they believe that, and we just may as well lay that out there. We'll get McGovern talking about it.
Oh, I think we will. I think we're going to see him talk about amnesty. I think that's what he wants one of these half hours for, that he's trying to buy. And defense and amnesty, I think he's worried about it.
What can he say about it?
I don't know what he can do with amnesty other than to try to do a Muskie-type speech where he tries to prove how completely fair and, you know, he'll try to fudge it up. I'm sure he'll try
to fudge it up and say, well, we'll have them work in a Peace Corps. Oh, sir, hell no. These poor bastards that got shot didn't work in any Peace Corps.
That's right. I don't see how he can't get off the issue. The only thing he can do is, if he tries to take the sting out of it, he may make it worse by talking about it. I guess the best thing he could do really is duck the whole amnesty issue entirely.
Yeah. Either that or change his position.
Well, no, I don't think he can't do that. God, he just.
He changed it on the schools and.
I think that on that one he'd have a hell of a problem with the kids. That's one.
Yeah, that's one they believe in, don't they?
Yeah, that's one they really do. And, now he's got to go.
I've noticed in looking at that that Massachusetts study is really interesting, and it's amnesty and abortion is what's hitting them up there.
Yeah, that's Doug Hallett's.
That's what you were telling me. Yeah.
He's up at Harvard Law School. He just went up there 2 weeks ago. And I thought he was going to turn to the left, and my God, his call to me was.
Is he in law school now?
Yes, sir. He's just started Harvard.
Oh boy.
He was going to wait a year, and I told him then stay the.
No, he ought to. He ought to go to school.
Yeah. 6 weeks of the campaign, and I said no. That's taking a whole year out of his life.
All right.
He'd done a good job for us. But I thought he'd go left when he got up to Cambridge.
He hasn't.
No, just the reverse. He's living in a lower middle class blue collar district, Inman Square. I know just where he lives. And he said, there aren't any McGovern votes here. He said, the working people, he said, they just talk about amnesty, abortion, and pot. And he said, they're scared to death of this guy. And he said, there's nothing he can say that'll change their opinions.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. He said, it's
pot. You know, Julie was saying that she'd heard McGovern say that he's not for legalizing marijuana. And I said, what did he say? He says, well, he wants to treat like alcohol. I says, that's legalizing it.
That's right.
Alcohol is legal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think you can get off of that, do you?
No, what he said is that. In that Playboy interview a year ago, that which we've hung around his neck about eight times, meaning he keeps referring to.
Good.
He talked there about wanting to legalize it, and then he switched his position to say that he wanted to reduce it from a felony to a misdemeanor, the possession of it. And that's what he's talking about, that he's not in favor of legalizing it. He still would leave it a misdemeanor. But that's a pretty fine, that's a pretty fine point for people. The man on the street doesn't understand the difference between the felony misdemeanor, sophisticates and lawyers. Others do, and maybe reducing the penalties he can get away with, but he's still stuck.
Well, actually, I'm for modification of penalties in many areas, but I don't talk about it anymore.
Exactly. Well, sure, it's a responsible position to reduce some of the penalties, but.
Yeah.
The trouble he has, Mr. President, with an issue like that is that you can't ever get rid of the impression, and it may not be it's fair in his case because these are all his positions, but he can't get away from them because he's got the the impression that he's soft. And boy, nobody who watched you on television last night talking about drug pushes or watched you Monday night. We've had a good week on drugs. By God, if we don't have that that issue.
We got that. We at least have said it twice on prime time. TV time, haven't we?
All three nets. You've said it. All three nets,
yeah.
Two nights this week have had at least 2 minutes, and some up to three.
Right.
Of this issue, we've also gotten pretty good coverage out of our people hitting him good and hard.
So that,
at least. As a matter of fact, with Ambrose, we did get a little bit of television. So it's
good.
I think we've gotten the most out of what we set out to do this week, which was the permissive thing. We've raised the amnesty issue all over the place. Got Kleindienst now talking about that.
Good.
He'll do well with it. And
the thing we've got to be on amnesty, we've all got to be exactly the same. And the thing we've got to say is what I said there, that people who desert must pay a penalty.
Right.
Use the word penalty so that it doesn't look like they're just going to come back, you know, because, and they should.
That's right.
God darn it, it's wrong for anybody to come back. They're going to come back, as Lincoln said, by God, they can serve the number of days they're out of the country in prison.
Well, we've got some press people going up to Canada this week to do interviews with the kids up there who will all be casting their absentee ballots for McGovern.
Right.
I think we might get some stories up there.
I think we ought to take away their citizenship.
Well, Barry Goldwater is proposing that in a speech tomorrow, a statement that went out this afternoon for tomorrow. And
why shouldn't we?
That's right. He's going to say they've deserted the country and they should have the rights of citizens to vote. We'll stir a little bit on that.
Keep it alive, right?
The whole point. It doesn't matter really how we do it, just as long as we have people talking about it. We got Kleindienst speaking out of
Good.
We've got our
good.
Lowell Weicker's been really taken off on this issue. He said he went around Connecticut. I don't know, maybe I told you this, but.
No.
Went through the state, and he didn't do anything except talk about amnesty and the government. And he said, my God, he was getting responses from the crowd. So now he wants to do something legislative. He wants to put in a bill that will make penalty.
Weicker, of all people.
Weicker, yeah. Well, you see, that's what's happening, and these people are catching on to it. The latest Rhode Island poll, taken last weekend, for you, by Becker, who I never have found to be off, is 52-24, and that's compared with 48-26 3 weeks ago in Rhode Island.
So right.
We're stronger in Rhode Island than we were 3 weeks ago, and DeSimone and Chafee are hanging on your coattails. Chafee's improved himself a little bit. He's now 10 points ahead of Pell, but way below us. And so you get into those blue-collar states, and it's just... these issues, by God, these issues really cut.
Well, you know, I could tell in talking to that group, you know, you talk about the strong national defense and the rest. I mean, they were really enthusiastic, weren't they?
Yeah, they were thrilled. Well, they were. Of course, they were all eyes and all agog at being where they were. I mean, those kids never thought they'd ever be in the White House.
Well, that's great.
But it was, good group of kids. Damn good.
Well, that's great.
And they'll go out and work, you know. That's...
I'm glad you suggested it, and we had a good picture taken and everything in that way, and they'll they have to use it.
Well, our labor thing, Mr. President, is really moving. I'm just
that's great.
I'm really pleased with it. Teddy Gleason, you may have seen in the Post today, announced that he is going to announce, and of course he's coming in here the Monday, I think. We'll get some good press out of him. We've got the billing trades now set for Tuesday, and Brennan's got a hell of a labor committee in New York that's going to be announced Wednesday, so we'll have them one a day next week, all week long, and I just think we're going to do awfully, that is the new majority, that's where we're getting split.
Because even though labor represents only a small percentage of, well, about a fourth of the labor force, the unorganized labor think just like they do.
Oh, sure, and and there's something else about it. That is, the unorganized laborer, he may not belong to a union, but his neighbors... There's a rub-off effect. In other words, having organized labor against you makes it tougher for the unorganized
Laborer
to feel that he wants to be to vote Republican. This is where we're getting into that $5,000 to $15,000. It's higher than that now.
And boy, we're gonna keep right after him.
And how?
Well, actually, I think our little Texas junket was very worthwhile because of the And it was so important to do the other events, which Connolly realized, so that it wasn't just the Connolly Ranch.
Oh, it was, yeah, I mean, the whole...
That gave it the television.
The whole television story would not have been a plus if it had just been going to the Connolly Ranch.
I know.
You did it. Superb.
Laredo.
You got marvelous television.
Yeah.
I think that, as you probably saw, Buchanan did get a daily analysis, and his point was that yesterday was very strongly a day for us. McGovern, I thought, came off very poorly last night on television. I was surprised that he...
That's where he answered Agnew.
Yeah, he answered Agnew, and...
Henry was calling me on some other matters, and he said he of course, Henry watches some of these things. He said he thought he looked weak, and he said sort of sappy.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did.
Is that right?
Yep, and he looked whiny. Whiny is the word. He was whining, you know.
Well,
nobody's going to...
He said they're questioning my patriotism.
That's right.
Well, nobody's questioning his patriotism, damn it. We're just questioning whether he has a double standard.
Well, what they did was the CBS really, and NBC more so, really sandbagged him because they showed a clip of the vice president, then they showed the clip of him saying they're questioning my patriotism. Well, Agnew wasn't doing that at all. Agnew was saying very expressly, I'm not questioning anyone's motives. I just believe that we should be even-handed and look at
that's your life.
The Vietnamese have done to the South.
That's right.
I'm not questioning his patriotism. So it made him look like he was...
And incidentally, most people think exactly that.
Well, I was going to say, when he says, why are they questioning my patriotism, a hell of a lot of people, you know, are sitting out there in the country saying, well, I question his patriotism. I don't think it's in his interest to raise that sort of in a whining way.
Well, sure, you hear some of our labor guys just say he's a communist.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
They don't even wait two breaths.
No, you had a few of them there last night at the Conley Ranch that feel that way.
Yeah.
Kale,
sure. Sure, he doesn't say, well, sure, he's communist.
No, he's convinced he's a complete...
Complete
red. And Paul Hall feels the same way.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
I want to talk with Dick Scammon today.
I'd like to
check Dick's judgment.
Right. As a matter of fact, I had down to ask you to be sure... check him every week because he's interesting.
Well, I'm doing that. He said not to.
Did you tell him about Yabalinsky or
Yankelovich?
Yankelovich and the other one there.
Yep.
It's very and you've got really three. You got Yankelovich, which
and
of course.
And Harris. Yep.
Yeah, and Yankelovich is I guess person to person.
His is.
It is.
I think it's person.
Person to person, but it's limited for more or less to big states.
16 states. Yes, sir.
Right.
The previous Yankelovich study, if you remember, came out in August. Was published about the middle of August. And
mm-hmm.
You notice... let's see, I have the damn thing here.
I think it was about 30...
2-1. It was... we had a 2-1 edge.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
But it came out and showed us further had been either in Gallup-Harris, so he's told it a little that way, I think.
Well, he is for a reason that Scammon has an interesting thesis on.
Yeah.
56-28 is what we had on...
Yankelovich
last time, very high undecided. But Yankelovich polls less Democrats than Harris or Gallup.
Why?
Well, because he thinks there are less Democrats in the country than they do. Gallup is 52% Democrats, and
also Yankelovich probably figures, and very properly, that Democrats that a hell of a lot less of them vote.
That's precisely. That's exactly the
less blacks vote. You know, less young people vote. All right.
Well, this is where Scammon believes that that Harris may be being conservative. And
it's all right. What's he think? He thinks it's all right, doesn't he?
Oh yeah. No, he doesn't think there's any turn at all. He said I don't. He said of course Dick Scammon kind of follows the Lubell thesis that you get an awful lot more out of talking to a few people and getting in-depth feelings and samples.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he talks around the country all the time. That's what he does. And he said there's no change. He said, maybe you've got a little bit of movement back with the young people. He said, I would suspect that Harris... I would think that the young people would be shifting a little back. He said, you've got too big a turn on them too fast after Eagleton. He said,
we got a big turn on them, and also we want to remember, Chuck, they're back in college.
Yep.
And the professors are getting at them again.
Yep, that's right.
And I think we've got to expect to lose some of them at this point.
Scammon said, if you can do anywhere near 50-50 with the under 30 vote, he said, then of course you've got a landslide of Johnson proportions. And he said, you were way ahead of him in the last Gallup and Harris. And he said, I never figured that would stay.
No.
He said, also, you're not going to hold with the blacks.
Oh, we lose all those.
Yeah. Yeah,
in fact, that's the 60 email I've been, I think Harris maybe is repeating back what I had said to him, that really the optimum for any candidate is what Johnson had over Goldwater was 61-39, 62.
Right.
And that incidentally was about what Roosevelt had over Landon, 62-38, something like that.
Doubly difficult for a Republican. I mean,
yeah. That
much harder for a Republican. Well, this
right.
is what is, I know what's going through Lou Harris's mind, because he called me yesterday with his raw data.
Sure.
And then he said, I'm going to weigh it out. He said, I'm going to put 9% black. And now Scammon today said, well, really, it's going to be 8, maybe 7.5. And he's putting 23% young. And Scammon said, I don't think so. He said,
I don't agree with that at all.
He said, it'll be more like 21%. And he said, maybe even 20, because they're not registered. And they aren't registering in the numbers. And he said, a lot of apathy among the blacks this year. And our pollster says the same thing. So, Dick. Scammon's position is that we're winning 2-1 now, basically. That he said probably the correct figure is somewhere between Yankelovich, Semlinger on the one hand, and Harris on the other.
Sure.
And he said, if you can, with 6 weeks to go, he said, if you've got a 60% of the vote now without any of the undecided, he said, Scammon's point is, he said, you probably would win by 65 today. And he said, that's almost.
All we want 60, basically.
Well, he said it's almost unheard of. So, I know, almost hard to believe with a Democratic Party having the
right.
So he sees no shift, Mr. President. He says you're going to see a shift. You're going to see some of the Jewish vote evaporate. You're going to see...
I agree.
He said you're going to see the black vote harden against you, but not come out, not turn out. And he said you're going to not do as well as your people think on the youth, because he said they're just... basically, they're going to drift back, especially, he said, as this fellow begins now to talk about the war.
Mm-hmm.
But very significant that there was no change in the union vote. And
but the war will harden our own support in the other vote.
Exactly. Well, that's hard. The significant thing in the Harris breakdown stuff is that no change in the union vote, still running away with it.
Mm-hmm.
No change, well, a little bit, slight change in the cap, a couple of points, which maybe was the speech he gave, who knows.
Could have been.
Yeah, could have been. And a drop in the Midwest, but Midwest is the only area that geographically... showed any kind of a change that you would even consider significant. That was quite a shift in the Midwest. Now that
what do you have there? What was his?
Well, he had his gaining in the West, 59-32 in the West, which is amazing.
59 what?
22. 59-32 in the
mm-hmm.
far West, and then 53-34 in the Midwest.
Well, for Christ's sake, who can complain about that?
No, hell no, you don't complain about it.
Yeah.
It's just that was the one area that mm-hmm. showed a little change, but that could be a...
Well, the far west is good, that means California.
Oh yeah, Harris says it's stronger in California today than 3 weeks ago when the overall was mm-hmm. stronger, so he thinks we're gaining.
That's where we want. The Midwest, Chuck, we're going to take.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, it's just going to go, and that's... It'll move back and forth. We'll take her.
Yeah, they're all going to show a little fluctuation. I think I think this is all healthy. There'll be a lot of poll stuff the first of this week. Yankelovich, Semlinger's putting all his out tomorrow.
His will come out tomorrow, huh?
Yes, sir. 41-point lead, the biggest in his ever accumulated in 24 years of polling.
Where will he put that, Chuck?
He's phoning it to Washington. Normally he puts it out in Philadelphia, and we told him today not to, because that...
How does he do it? Phone it to the wire services, you mean?
Phones it to the wire services, New York Times, Washington Post.
And some of them use it, huh?
Well, they did the last time we did this. Remember on the war,
mm-hmm.
he was the first... After May 8th, he was the first one out. And
mm-hmm.
We got a hell of a story out of that. And a couple of times we did on the political. And then he's got another interview in U.S. News this week. They're using him regularly in a couple of page interviews. He's getting more visibility, and he's great from our standpoint.
Sure.
We get not only current information from him, but he's pretty easy to...
Well, one thing about elections, they never stay the same. They move back and forth, ebb and flow.
Yep. Well, I really think...
And that's all right with me.
I really think...
Particularly when we're where we are.
Oh, God. As Scammon said today, he said when we were talking back in May, he said if we had been discussing whether there was any significance between a 28 or a 34 or a 40-point margin, we'd have all thought we were
crazy
smoking pot. He said, we just...
Right.
He said, God, if we'd been talking then about a 15-point margin, we would have thought we were kidding.
Sure.
The 1st of October.
Yeah.
A week away, he said, but you're 1 week from the 1st of October. He said, if anybody had ever thought we'd be trying to determine whether there are any...
What's he... Did he mention... did you talk to him about Gallup's theory about this could all evaporate?
He thinks Gallup has gotten senile. He...
Does he?
Yeah, he's very disturbed about Gallup. He said, I just don't understand him. He said, he thinks his... He thinks his techniques are good, and but he just said the fellow really very surprised at the way he's talking. And now, Scammon has another theory that there's a disproportion in the electorate this year that you can't tell as much on a nationwide sample as you
are
going into a particular area. He said, you know, there are pockets. And the Chicago Daily News had a survey this morning that was, or it was in the news summary this morning, that would tend to bear out what Scammon is saying, that there isn't a direct correlation between the national statistics and what is really happening in the country, because he said you can take areas like Northwest Chicago, where he said you're just going to carry that area overwhelmingly, and he said that throws the, it may be in a national sample of 1,600, nobody goes into Northwest Chicago,
mm-hmm.
or maybe they get one person there, but he said if you do an in-depth and you see the enormous shift, then he said you try to translate that out nationally, and it's quite a different thing. Now he said you go Westchester County, maybe no different than it was in the Eisenhower years of 56, 52. But he said if you take a blue-collar area where there's an enormous change, then he said that'll your national pollster will not catch that. He won't be able to if there are pockets like this around the country where there's very, very heavy movement. And then he said he won't catch it. They will catch it in the south where a whole region moves, but not where an area, say, particularly an area affected by busing, which, of course, Scammon just...
He still thinks it's hot.
Oh, Jesus, he thinks that's... He said it's very, very interesting. But his point is, he said, don't... He said, you can't put an awful lot of stock in this, because he said, from a national standpoint, this won't show up. But he said, I know. He said, the Scammon precinct, as he calls it, Northwest Chicago. He said, hell, I sent Evans and Novak out there. They took Ali Quayle through it, and you're winning it 2-1. He said, you normally ought to lose it 3-1.
Ought to win at what?
He said you should lose at 3-1, and you're winning at 2-1.
I'll be darned.
So his point is that you the depth of the sentiment is so strong, and the Democratic Party is so split down the middle, the old Democratic Party, that he said you may not be able to reflect this in the national stuff.
Well,
he thinks we're doing it just right.
Yeah.
He thinks
the one thing that we have to consider, which I'm going to talk to all of them about, is how much we're going to do, you know, on this motorcading, campaigning, so forth and so on. I think the kind of thing we did in Texas probably is helpful. I don't think we... I know, as you keep it on that basis.
I know, that's helpful.
But, so we'll see.
I'd put it this way, Mr. President, that if you... can go into a place like Laredo and talk about drugs,
mm-hmm.
and if the television plays the fact that you're in there talking about an issue, and even though they say you're at to visit fat cats at the Conley Ranch, who cares?
Yeah,
you're in there to talk about an issue. That's
the main thing we want to do is to see the crowd.
That's right.
Too.
That came through. That was awfully good. But there was an issue orientation to it. It wasn't just the flag draped. Platforms and political speeches. It was that had.
I agree. No political speeches.
Yeah, that's
right.
Really the key to it.
That's next week's only time we're having those, unfortunately. But
a little bit of that isn't gonna.
We have to.
That's right. But it's
raise our money.
I'll say this, Mr. President, that the more I watch Shriver and McGovern on television, the more I think.
Put them on more.
Yeah, LCAP said he was absolutely right. Buy some time for him. Jesus. Very unimpressive last night, and Shriver's a complete ass. I mean, he's a Jewish delicatessen in Brooklyn asking him about the price of bacon. Did you hear about that?
He got a woman?
Yeah, he grabbed this woman and he said, do you realize what the Nixon inflation means? Do you know what's happened to the price of bacon? And of course, everybody went all around him. It was on television, not in the network.
In a Jewish delicatessen?
In a Jewish delicatessen. She said, no, I don't buy bacon. My husband's a rabbi.
Great.
He just stood there looking at her like a jackass.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the more of that, better.
Well, he's a total ass. Let him go.
Yeah, complete ass. I just think he's running himself right into the...
Well, I'll tell you, we'll do the IMF Monday and
yep.
New York Tuesday and California Wednesday.
He's got a busy week.
But they won't. We're not going to do much politics. I'm just going to be talk about nothing in these places.
Well, you've got, I mean, I think it's a good calendar. I've gone all through it.
Yeah.
Along with our...
It isn't going to be anything that's particularly the media as far as folks are concerned, because $1,000 dinners, Chuck, I've always felt fundraisers are losers politically. That's
well, they are. No question.
I never want to do them, and Maury doesn't understand that, but anyway, well, we're doing them.
You have to, and it's every... It isn't the best thing, but so be it.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt.
But I just wanted you to know that I thought your call on the thing was right. I mean, I didn't know about it, but when I thought about it after being in Laredo and these other places, I thought, well, what the heck? I'd go there to some Pete Flanagan said we got 200 businessmen in the White House. We said, well, and I'd be over there giving them, you know, 25 minutes or so. Well, what the hell?
No,
why not these kids?
Yeah, and this,
the
impact of this going out around the country.
That's right.
You'll see it. This has a hell of an effect. And
right.
Good pictures because they're the right kind of people.